read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land.
Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our book pick segment for the week. I'm always thrilled when this man joins us. He's just a blast, and we always have a good time. He is here to tell us about some great books that have come across the shelves of his store, and if they haven't, then he orders them, and if not, then he just makes it up. It's all good. Matt Tannenbaum is here. He's from the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts, and it's always wonderful seeing you, sir. How are you?
Joe? Guess who we have to start off with today?
Oh, do you have a Patrick Modiano book?
Oh my
by
gosh!
Chance?
Do you like Patrick Modiano?
Well, I do now. You got me hooked.
2014, he won the prize. Nobel Prize.
The Nobel Prize for Literature.
I think the first time I came on the show was right after that, and I talked about his Suspended Sentences, the novella that came out from
yes.
Yale.
And every appearance since then.
Since then. I think it's six all last year and two more this year. It's about nine.
So they're just churning these things out.
They're finding them. They're translating them. They've been published since the 60s, late 60s.
And he's still alive.
He's still alive.
That's still writing.
And still writing. Yeah. The last one was So You Don't Get Lost in the Neighborhood.
Okay.
Which is starts off with this. It sounds like just a phrase, and that's what his books are. They're just full of phrases. The one I'd like to talk about tonight is Out of the Dark, published by Patrick Modiano, published by the University of Nebraska Press.
Okay.
Now, where'd they come up with him?
Now, this I don't know. Now, what language is he translating?
Modiano
from?
is French.
Okay.
His father was an Italian Jew who lived in Paris during the occupation and worked for the Gestapo. And the son grew up after the war and discovered this about his father. And in every book, I think in all 10 books, 9 or 10 books I've read so far, there is a low-life guy who works or works out of or runs or owns or is somehow connected with a garage. It's taken me 3 or 4 or 5 books to realize there's always a garage. And I realized that this is a device of his.
Yes.
And there's always a low-life. But there's always a young man. And in many of the books, he's falling desperately in love with an older woman. That's the case in this book today, Out of the Dark. And he's particularly, I don't want to say he's whiny, but he's a little whiny. But he comes out of this, and he is, there's a great redemption in this affair that he has. And I want to read you a passage from later in the book, pardon me, where he's remembering this time that he went away with this young woman.
You know I love when you read to me.
Much later, I found the photomat pictures from Holland Park at the bottom of a shoebox full of old letters, and I was struck by the innocence of our faces. We inspired trust in people. Here's the line. And we had no real qualities, except the one that youth gives to everyone for a very brief time, like a vague promise that will never be kept.
Oh, that's great. Good stuff.
He captures youth and this longing that he has. Out of the Dark by Patrick Modiano. These are all mostly in paperback, and they're not scattered. They're in a one big place on the back paperback table when you come into the bookstore.
So this is what I envision, that somewhere in some office in Nebraska, they're saying, I don't know, for some reason, we're selling just a ton of these things out of Lenox. We don't know what's going on.
I wonder if they can track that. Of course they can track that.
Yeah, I think that's great.
All right, I'm trackable.
They're a one-man Modiano machine. It's Out of the Dark by Patrick Modiano. All right, next up.
From youth to the end of youth.
The opposite.
The opposite. The Violet Hour by Katie Roif.
I think it's Roify, I believe.
Roify?
Thank you.
Do you know her? Do you
we had her on the show. In fact, you know what? She'll be on the show.
She's coming to Lenox next week.
That's right.
Right.
And
right.
You're selling the books for that event.
I'll be providing the books at the Mount. For
excellent.
Edith Wharton.
So that's great. And so we talked to her about this book. This is Great Writers at the End.
And it starts off with, you know, her description of her own illness.
Yes.
So she's really been writing this book because she thought she was going to die. And she read that book by Sherwin Nuland, How We Die,
yes,
when she was, 12 years old. I didn't read that when I was 12 years old. I couldn't have read that when I was 12. But she kept that with her. And then she found these writers, some of whom she knew. I mean, she knew Salter. I don't know if she knew any of the others, if she ever knew Updike.
Of meeting, Salter was the only one that she had met.
Right, right, yes. Right. So there's Updike, Salter, Freud. Who else?
Sontag. Dylan Thomas and Marie Sendak.
And Sendak. And Sendak was just lovely. I haven't read the whole book all the way through, I got to tell you. I dip into, because it's written in these great gulpy paragraphs, and you can get so much out of them. You can get so much out of them when you read them all together. But just dipping through is just a wonderful, wonderful writing. She really, in each paragraph, in each section, she just wants to tell you what she knows,
and also about how both how writers dealt with their own demise,
yeah,
and also how death was so often, even in the early work,
in their books
was so often a
lovely passage on how Updike lets Rabbit die.
Yes.
Right, and then Updike himself writing that final poem, resting his head on his typewriter.
Right,
now that's a great image, and it's not voyeuristic. You know,
it's a beautiful book.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Violet Hour Great Writers. Try it again. The Violet Hour Great Writers at the End. It's published by the Dial Press, and Katie Royfe will be at the Mount in Lenox on next week, I believe.
Sometime, I think next Thursday.
A.O.
Scott this week, Katie the following, and somebody else. And I don't have my notes to tell you who they
are. By the end of this segment, I will have them for you. I have them right here on my computer.
Here is the third book I have, and this is somewhere between Youth and The Violet Hour, is The Art and Craft of Living.
Is this what we're supposed to do in between?
Yeah. Well, you know, you know Langston Hughes, his famous great poem? Birthing is hard and dying is mean, so get some loving in between.
Oh, there you go.
There it is.
Yeah, okay.
That's the end of the show. I'm going now. Thanks so much. Thanks for having.
So this is Japanese Wooden Boat Building
by Douglas Brooks. It's a kind of a new friend of ours, new friend of mine. Carol introduced me to him in Vermont. He lives in Vermont. I heard about this book when I met him 3, 4, 5 years ago, and I must have said to him, "Hey, you finished that book, and we'll have a party." And we did last Saturday. And this is about his journeying to Japan as a young man, becoming an apprentice, learning the craft of wooden boat building. And now he's just returned from his, 17th trip to Japan. And now he teaches boat building to a new generation because the old masters, he apprenticed with 5 of them. And the apprenticeship program is a good part of the book, and it's a great a story of how one learns a craft. The first couple of times he's in with a master builder, there's no talking. He's not allowed to talk, and he learns by watching.
Is there something specific about what makes a Japanese wooden boat compared to
a different culture?
Yes,
just in the I don't want to call it the Zen, but there's a technique.
I see the intricacy of the
There's no glue.
Wow.
Right. It's like the post and beam that we know here in America. That book we had a couple of weeks ago, Will Beamer's book, you know, on post and beam building.
And beautiful craftsmanship and design on these boats, yeah, too. Yeah. That's absolutely gorgeous.
And the design transfers into its, not efficiency, but its worthiness, its seaworthiness.
Now, this is what we would call, I think, a coffee table type
book.
It's
a coffee table book.
So, but it seems to me that this is also the type of book that if you're just interested in this, you could read this from cover to cover and learn a lot about this craft. Or if you wanted to to actually partake, this would be something that would be
stepping stone.
Yes,
this will open the door for you.
Well, it's absolutely beautiful, and it's by Douglas Brooks, and it is called Japanese Wooden Boat Building. That is really stunning. All right.
That's it. I can't read any more new books.
Okay.
I've done.
You're giving up?
There's a new Dave Eggers. There's a new Jay McInerney.
Yes.
There's a new Jeffrey Toobin. Those are all just came in at the end of the last week, and they're just flying off the shelves.
Yeah.
But they're flying. I burned my hands trying to catch them before they went out.
Yeah.
So I went to my shelf. And when I go home, I like to read an old book that gives me comfort. And I found two old books that I would love to tell you about. And I have these not quite stacked high on the tables, but I have a couple of copies of each of these. The first one is The Summer Book by Tove Jansson, who was... she wrote 10 adult books. I didn't realize that. I only have about two or three of them in the store. She wrote the kids' book series, The Moomin Trolls. The Moomin series, who are delightful cartoon characters. Tove Jansson was an artist and from Sweden. She and her mother was a writer. Her father was a sculptor, and she grew up. She actually, her first drawings appeared in an anti-fascist magazine in the early 40s. And she got worldwide fame. She lived most of her life on this island with her companion, and then wrote this book, The Summer Book, about an old woman and a young granddaughter. And the woman's son, his wife has just died. So the daughter is, the granddaughter is, it's only mentioned once at the beginning of one of the chapters. And it just, that's all. And it's haunting the rest of the book. But slightly haunting. You Sophia, the granddaughter, it's a little haunting, like a little Edward Gorey ghost. You know, you know, so she's growing up, and she's coming of not of age, but she has an awareness of being on the island and what it means to be. And it's a great island book. It's a great summer provincial book. Get away from the world.
Hence the summer.
The
book.
The summer book.
Yes.
Right. By. Tove Jansson.
Jansson,
I think.
Yes, okay.
And the last one I have for you is, because I tend to go back to one of my first loves in reading, and that's F. Scott Fitzgerald. And his book, The Crack Up, is, I've been reading this book for 40, 50 years now. It is, the title of it comes from the three essays he wrote in his late 30s. After all his success, and he hit the bottom. He fell out, and he wrote these three essays called The Crack Up, Pasting It Together, and Handle It With Care. And Handle With Care in three successive months in Esquire magazine in 19. When did he do it? When he was 39, so mid 30s. He died at the age 44
right.
in 1940. Penniless, a failure, such and such. But these are these great. This is a writer examining himself, examining the great success that he achieved in the 20s. And here's a couple of blurbs. It's edited by his longtime friend Edwin Wilson. A self-portrait. I guess this is what the publisher says. A self-portrait of a great writer's rise and fall, intensely personal, and etched with Fitzgerald's signature blend of romance and realism. E.L. Doctorow said, we begin to understand, this is a great line, we begin to understand our particular affection for this writer. He lacked armor. He jumped right into the foolish heart of everything as he had into the Plaza Fountain.
Oh.
Which was that famous story of Fitzgerald getting arrested, I think with a horse in the Plaza Fountain. Famous story in the world of literature. That's my only world.
The Crack Up, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and it's a beautiful. It looks like a beautiful edition.
It has letters that he wrote, or letters that were written to him when he sent copies, advanced copies of The Great Gatsby, to three writers he admired: T.S. Eliot, Gertrude Stein, and Edith Wharton.
Wow.
And those are great letters, blessing or putting a crown on this young prince from these three older writers.
Speaking of Edith Wharton. Katie Royfe will be at the Mount on August 18th, Thursday, August 18th, from 5:30 to 6:45. And you will be providing the books for that event.
We will be.
Excellent.
If we have any left after the run on them today.
Yes. Well, that's that's true. That's true. It's Touchstones at the Mount, and you can find out more by going to edithwharton.org. And what else do you have coming up?
We have events. We have an event next Sunday. And I left my sheet of paper home, so I don't have it with me. Do you have it?
No, I can
try. Oh, come on, Joe. Help a poor bookseller out. I can't get online.
Okay. Bookstore in Lenox. All right. And I'm there. I see your picture. Good. And yeah, you look good in that picture. All right. And then events.
A couple years ago.
Yeah. Okay. You didn't have to tell him that. Okay. We've got, we have Peter Daly.
Peter Daly and
John Myslinski.
Yes, yes.
Strange
co-authors.
Gods.
Right, right.
And then
that's next Sunday afternoon.
14th at 3:00, and then on the 15th, Aaron Thier,
Great Barrington. Don't know the guy. Haven't met him. I don't think. But new novel, Mr. Eternity.
That's right. Joseph Berger, The Pious Ones, on the 19th at 7:00.
The New York Times reporter.
Frederick Pollack, A Poverty of Words, the 21st at 3:00. Anna Ornstein, My Mother's Eyes, on the 20th at 4:00.
A World War II survival story.
Okay, so you can find out all these events by going to bookstoreinlenox.com and just clicking on the events tab.
I'll do that myself.
And I'm telling that just to you, not the listeners, actually. But no, you can do that. And you can also check out our website, wamc.org/roundtable, where the list resides, and also a link to Matt's site as well. Matt Tannenbaum is from the bookstore in Lenox. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Joe. Good to see you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.